When you're lost in the darkness, look for The Pod. Specifically, the Prestige TV podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network, where we're breaking down every new episode of HBO's The Last of Us. On Sunday nights, grab your battery and join Van Lathan and Charles Holmes for an instant reaction to the latest episode.
Then head back to the QZ on Tuesdays for a deep dive with Joanna Robinson and Mallory Rubin. From character arcs to video game adaptation choices, story themes to needle drops, we'll parse every inch of this cordyceps-coded universe. Watch out for mouth tendrils and follow along on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Sweat. You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
The major stick.
Oh my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-O-K-
Midge.
Male.
Mushroom.
Midge.
It's still rooted.
Midge.
Male.
Mushroom.
Midge.
It's still rooted.
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
I like a delicious chicken.
It was repug.
It's professional.
It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world's number one sports and recreation podcast, Cheap Heat, is back on this Tuesday, March 7th. I am in New York City, where I'm slightly under the weather, but we're going to power through here today. Forever 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg. And joining us from, you're not going to believe this because you just heard him say on the show, I think a week ago, that he had to stop vacationing. The back physically on vacation again, Stat Guy Greg.
That's right. Listen, in my defense, I didn't know that I was going to be on vacation when I said that.
You're a lawyer. Is that a defense?
It was the truth. Yeah, it was true when I said it.
Meaning it's not. It wasn't an outright lie.
It was true when I said it.
And how did it change so quickly?
We both had some time off. We figured, might as well go somewhere. Ended up in San Francisco. Coincidentally, right around the same time that AEW was here.
Oh, wow. Didn't go to Revolution, though.
No, I actually walked up to the Chase Center and saw a poster with my picture and, the red X through it. And then I figured I'd...
Oh, you were going to go. And then it said you weren't welcome.
Figured I better find something else to do.
Was it the Chase Center on Sunday?
No, that didn't happen. Yeah, I think it was.
Wow.
Because I think it was the Cow Palace for something else. Might have been the Dynamite.
And how long are you in the Yay area?
I'm leaving tonight.
What's the weather like in San Francisco in March? I haven't done that in a long time.
You know, it's...
50s?
Right now, it's similar to the East Coast. Yeah, it's 40s, 50s.
Yeah. San Francisco weather. I mean, keep it a bug with you guys, man. San Francisco weather's pretty whack.
Yeah, that's what we learned.
It's pretty whack. I mean, not that it's news. I know everyone knows it rains a lot, et cetera. But the temperatures too. You do get, of course, your warm days in the summer. It just feels like whenever I'm there, it's either nominally better than the East Coast or just as bad.
Yep, and that's what we got here. It was just as bad.
Wait, so what day did you guys get out there?
We got out here Saturday.
Okay. All right. So tonight I had a Saturday there, had all Sunday, all Monday, all Tuesday.
Yep.
Leaving
tonight.
Oh, that's nice. Have you been enjoying the bay?
Oh yeah, I have. I have been enjoying the bay. We did a Fisherman's Wharf. I had to go to Hyde Street Pier.
Had to go
to Hyde Street Pier, take some flicks with my namesakes. It's the signage over there. What else did we do? Oh, we went to Napa, Sonoma Valley. Did a little wine tasting out there.
Ooh, don't mind if you do.
Yeah.
Let's see what Natalie's... let me ask Natalie what her food... What's your food recommendation for San Francisco?
Ooh!
Wait. Go. All right. Very loud.
All right, you gotta go to Kevin's Noodle Shop, by the way. You gotta go to Kevin's Noodle Shop. It's by the Golden Gate Park. It's like it's a pho spot. I go there for pho and fried chicken. So you go there.
You said the magic word.
Yep, she did.
Chicken. Delicious did. Chicken.
I love it. It's so good. I mean, that's, you have no, I, every time I land, even if I'm, it's a layover and I'm there for 5 hours, I make sure I go there and the St. Francis Fountain, which is in the Mission District, which that's where I get, it's a breakfast spot, like kind of low key spot. I get the huevos rancheros there.
All right, so Kevin's Noodle Shop.
Kevin's
for the pho and the fried chicken
and the St. Francis
Fountain.
And St. Francis Fountain.
Also, Natalie, do you want dip's not on until Friday? Do you want to save your cream cheese announcement for then?
Yeah.
Okay. Natalie has a new thought on cream cheese that she's excited to tell Dip about, but we'll save it for the Friday episode this week. All right. Well, SGG, you just mentioned the AEW being the pay-per-view that was in San Francisco. So let's just mention that. I only saw the MJF Daniel Bryan match, but I will say...
Same.
I will say, considering I have not been in love with the Daniel Bryan MJF story. I do think that by hook or by crook, they pulled off an awesome Iron Man match with a great story on Sunday night.
No, I agree. I haven't been following the story super closely because I was just tapping into the matches, but that match was, let's be honest, it was fantastic. No, I would have preferred that MJF beat him 1-0. So, you know, he got the win 4-3 after a sudden death. I would have preferred that he beat him 1-0, no sudden death. But either way, it was good for me because, like you said, people haven't been feeling the build to the match. And I thought, you know, a lot of people were saying this is the time that you take the belt off of MJF, put it on Daniel Bryan, that they both need it for whatever reason. But, you know, when the match started or as the match start began, you know, my thought was, MJF needed this win. He needs some actual accolades because the one criticism that people have of him is that he you know he goes for the low hanging fruit. He does a lot of edgelord stuff, which we saw a little bit of that during the match. He threw a drink on a kid, but when he has these actual accolades and these matches to back it up, then I felt like he could get away from that, and actually say, listen, I went toe to toe with the best, and I beat him. For the championship on the grandest stage, I put on a banger. So let him get these bangers under his belt as champion. Because let's be honest, too, these AEW championship matches over the years, they haven't all been bangers. So let MJF be the one to put them up.
And he brought it. He brought it, Maxwell.
Definitely.
He delivered. Man, I loved the big elbow to the outside off the top. Like
Tombstone through the table.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, I mean, the amount of work that this guy has put in, his physical shape that he's in is just insanity. I dare I say reminds me of the staff of this show. The kind of shape that he's in. You know?
Physically strong?
Yeah, very physically strong, physically fit, physically cut. I also enjoyed him grabbing the lady's drink and throwing it on her child. I mean, that's... You don't get that every day.
I didn't enjoy that as much, I got to say.
Was you think that was fully legit?
The report said it was fully legit. there are reports that it was fully legit. And then even at the press conference, Tony Khan, who, listen, we know he's not the best. He's not winning any Golden Globes or acting performances here. He seemed to come across as if it was fully legit. And that kind of stuff is like, it's dicey.
Yeah, no, Tony definitely played it as if it was straight. And Max didn't say anything particularly, so which made me think maybe it was real, whatever that means. I mean, the thing is this. You have to think about it in the long run for the kid. The kid loves wrestling enough that he's at an AEW pay-per-view. At first, he might have been like, but down the line, this is going to be the best thing that ever that's ever happened to him. He first of all, I think Tony said they're already having him back out at the next. In a few weeks, they said they were having him back out. Anyways, there were a few things like that during the match. It just seemed to get people like talking. It was a nice job. But again, I am the most out I've been on the AEW product in some time. Like I had other things I had to watch. And so when Goldstein texted our group chat and said the match was on, that's when I turned it on. Besides that,
yeah, same.
I had not really spent a lot of time thinking about Revolution. So we'll see where they go from here. Last night on Raw, as we dive into WWE, they really, really got after it with regard to pulling together the main event. I mean, the WrestleMania picture, no?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they set up that women's six-man tag. Jey Uso finally made his choice, to which Cody was the one to run down and save Sami Zayn, which I think sets up the obvious image of at WrestleMania. It's going to be Cody, KO, and Sami trying to take down the Bloodline, albeit in two different matches. Because obviously, listen, KO can't just sit back and let Sami continue to go at it alone. He's going to get involved with the Usos at some point. What else did they do? They tried to showcase Omos, but I think at this point, a win over Dolph Ziggler doesn't do much to showcase anybody.
Well, I mean, it's funny you say that, because that is exactly the kind of win that I was saying he needed to get. Like I might have been literally a year ago,
yeah,
or 6 months, when we had that conversation where I was like, when is the guy going to start getting like some wins that aren't over two unnamed jobbers? And yeah, right. To do it right now, limited impact.
Yeah, very limited impact. Just because of, and it's nothing against Omos, but it's what Dolph seems to be doing right now. You know, he's in that thing with Mustafa Ali, where they're going to form a tag team. Maybe they aren't. We don't know. But he seems to be a little bit further down the card, even though he still is in peak physical condition. He still is a person who can put on a nice match. And he still is, let's face it, former world champion. I think he was NXT champion just last year. So it's not like this is a guy who can't get a championship at will at any time. But again, it just felt, like you said, low impact last night for whatever reason.
So all said and done, it was three that they officially put on the card, and they set up obviously the Uso tag match. I wonder why they keep delaying on having the KO thing though. Sami came out and saved KO. So at the end, when Sami was getting his ass handed to him by the Usos, I wonder what they resisted by not giving us that. Right then, it seemed like the right time to do it, no?
It definitely did, and who knows? Like,
my guess is KO did come out, and they probably did a dark match with 3-on-3, a six-man with those guys, including KO. That's my guess. But on TV, they just showed us Cody.
Yeah, hopefully they gave Boston something. The Usos and Solo versus KO, Cody, and Sami. But yeah, I don't know why they're delaying it. Everybody knows where this is going to go. We know it's going to be for the tag team championships. I'm questioning how much, I don't think delaying it is going to hurt, but how much more anticipation can build for this thing that we know we're going to get
Yeah, I guess that's just how I feel. You're right. It's not like it's going to be worse or anything. It's just I don't know what they're expecting the return to be at this point.
Right. And you know, Boston would have been a good city to do it in. Like he mentioned, the history was right there at War Games. The last time they were in Boston together, Sammy kicked them in the nuts. So for them to reunite right there would have been a good full circle moment. But they kicked the can down the road a little bit.
What did you think about the Cena theory of it all?
Man, oh man. I tweeted this and I'll say it again here too. When Cena called himself a senior, I knew that theory was going to have a problem as long as this confrontation remained verbal. Because anybody who's had to interact with a senior can tell you that they don't give a damn about your feelings. At some point, like, the empathy goes out the window. The decorum goes out the window. They tell you exactly how they feel. And they don't care how you feel about it. And that was the energy that Cena gave Theory on Monday. He just kept cooking him and cooking him and cooking him. And this is the same Cena who we saw bring it to The Rock on the mic when he was a young whippersnapper, you know, up and coming. So now that he has that senior, I don't give a shit energy behind that same verbal assault, mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be bad for Theory. And it was. It was a long promo for Theory.
I'm happy Cena has a legitimate advertised match. Okay. I wish I didn't find out about it on a random release of the poster on Thursday.
Oh, did that happen?
Yeah, I think it was Thursday night. Cody on Instagram posted the Mania poster.
Oh, yes, I do remember that.
And it had Snoop in it?
for some odd reason.
I mean, my guess is we'll find out at some point here in the next couple of weeks that Snoop is involved.
It had to be something with the missing title, right?
And it, more importantly, it had John Cena there right in the front. And I'm like, okay. So I guess that is
standing
happening.
Standing right next to Jane Cena, Bianca Belair.
That's right. Oh, yeah. I liked your comment there. John and Jane right next to each other. That is facts. Now, let me ask you the question as we sit here less than a month out from Mania. Are we not going to get any of the big time non-John Cena return superstars? We have Trish, which one we didn't bank on. We have Lita.
Right.
We have Cena. Are we going to get Austin, The Rock, The Undertaker, whoever it may be? Are we getting anybody?
I think we might get The Undertaker. I feel like the strongest chance we got is we might get The Undertaker. In what capacity? I truly have no idea.
Why? What makes you say that, though?
Well, because he's been doing those those dead man one night tours. You know the Tales of the Dead. I forget what they call it. Tales of the Dead Man or the Dead Man Talking.
Dead Man Talking. I don't know exactly what they call it.
So he's gonna be around. He's somebody that they can plug and play at any time, right? Hit the gong, throw the long leather trench on, send him out. And again, we know he's going to be in town doing the Dead Man Talking. So he's somebody they can pull in right away. And then Stone Cold, I feel like there's a good chance we might get a Stone Cold pop. Again, in what capacity, I don't know. Because by this time last year, KO had been calling Stone Cold out. So we knew he might show up.
So you've fully given up on The Rock.
I have. As crazy as it sounds, because they're in Hollywood. And again, this time last year, we all said they're going to Hollywood. He, at this point, is Mr. Hollywood. It makes sense for him to be there, but he has it. We haven't seen anything that would indicate that he might show up. And, I just don't see them injecting him into the Bloodline thing at WrestleMania. So I'm giving up on The Rock.
Damn, that was the day, Tuesday, March 7th, where officially all hopes of The Rock being at WrestleMania have been dashed.
Yeah.
Sort of seems hard to picture now. Let's see. We have a SmackDown.
The show that he named. His, you know?
We have three Raws left and four SmackDowns. Three Raws and four SmackDowns. Okay, so let me follow up that question. And I will say I'm starting to be on board with you. I'm starting to believe it's over. This isn't some elaborate... Although, isn't it weird, man? You remember on the episode of Young Rock when they included the thing of him having a match with Roman Reigns?
They did, and it was like... They knew what that was going to do, and it did exactly what they thought it was going to do. Oh, Rock and Roman at WrestleMania, a match that big has to happen there. And everybody bit. Everybody bit.
Well, I refuse to believe that we've hit the end of the road for The Rock. I do not. Listen, I love The Rock. In fact, I would say the only person I know beyond a shadow of a doubt loves The Rock more than me is The Rock. And for that reason, he's not just fading away.
No.
His passion for the wrestling business is such that I have to imagine he wants the real send-off.
But is that the thing that he's most passionate about, though? Is rest at this point in his life, is pro wrestling the thing that he's the most passionate about? Or has he discovered a deeper passion in Hollywood? We just have to ask that question, right? And A&E aired The Rivals, Rock and John Cena. 10 years ago was that last WrestleMania match.
Do you have A&E, by
John
the way?
Cena? The hotel had it.
Oh, really? Good for you, man.
I don't have it at all right now. I got to see it at the hotel. I don't think I have it at home.
You just saw The Rivals this week? You didn't see the China biography?
No, because it was The Rivals. It was weird. They did The Rivals, The Rock and John Cena, and then they rolled it right into Rivals, Rock and Stone Cold. So I was like, oh, we got to fully see The Rock. We got to see his body transform completely from like, he was a little chubby when he came in. I didn't realize it until you see it. When like it ends when he retires Stone Cold and it picks back up like a few years after when John Cena's calling him out, and it's like his body, he really transformed it over the years to be like he's super sculpted and jacked now. Mm. Which is crazy that this is the version of The Rock that doesn't want to get in the ring. You know what I mean? He's better than he ever looked.
I know. That is, yeah. How much was I used in the Cena Rock one? They used me at all?
Oh yeah, they did. They did. They used you a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn it. I wish I had A&E. I want to see my glorious appearances in these shows. It's really a pain. It's funny. A&E, you think of being such a central cable channel. I don't know why it's on so few of the streaming cable services. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's absurd, actually. Because they I don't know why they pulled it away. I don't think it's like... It's weird. I don't think it's that popular that they should file it away and make people have to hunt it down. But also, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not so, people are not so uninterested in it that you pull it off the packages. I feel like it's right in that sweet spot that everybody should have it.
Right? I don't know. Very strange. Very strange. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Damn, so I guess we really probably are not getting The Rock. Now, what about Steve Austin, who's been clearly getting into wrestling shape now for the last 6 months again?
I wonder if he was the backup, right? Which just sounds crazy to say, right? That Stone Cold would be, you know, the backup in case of emergency, you know, break the glass, no pun intended. But could he have been somebody they call if John Cena couldn't take the call on Austin Theory?
I don't think Steve Austin does that much work for a backup role. Either he's just getting into shape. He wants to be in shape. But like, okay, let's look at the roster right now. Where, and this is a relevant question with not even regard to comebacks, but just as the Mania card fills out. So right now, here's what you have absolutely set. No nights have been separated yet, but we have Roman versus Cody, Charlotte versus Rhea, Bianca versus Asuka, Brock versus Omos, Gunther versus the winner of a Fatal 5-Way on SmackDown, Austin Theory versus John Cena for the U.S. Championship, Seth freaking Rollins versus Logan Paul, and then Trish, Lita, and Becky versus Damage Control in a 6-woman tag match.
Right.
So I guess the question I have for you, for us to look at here, what major talent does not have their match yet?
Well, Finn and Edge, you know they're going to get a match.
By the way, I can't believe they're doing Finn and Edge again. It's just not what I expected. But Rhea has a match. Dominic seems to have a match.
Yep, Dom is getting Rey for sure.
By the way, that to me right now, this is an important note for today's show. That has become the most important thing to get done on this card for me.
In terms Ray of, and Dom? Yeah.
In terms of where my level of passion will be for like the matches I want to see. I don't know where it stands for you, SGG, but to me, Ray and Dom would be the most must-see thing, maybe the whole weekend.
Agreed.
We need it. We need that now. And it's in LA. It's perfect. I really hope that gets made. And how would they not? Like at this point, it would seem like such a cop out if Ray was like, "Hijo, I can't believe what you've done to me. And now that is why you will have to fight Humberto Carrillo at WrestleMania."
Right. Santos Escobar, somebody like that.
Escobar is the only man who can represent. It doesn't make sense for him to grab a random dude. It has to be Rey and Dom.
It has to be, especially because like we say this every time too, but like this is the height of disrespect that Dom has reached. And then the next couple of weeks, he goes out there and reaches a new height of disrespect. I mean, Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar did that mask swap. And, you know, it was presented as this super honorable thing that they did for each other. And then Dom rips the mask. He just shreds it. And then punches Rey in the face for asking for it back.
I mean, come on.
Like, how much of that are we going to let ride? How much of that are we going to let slide? Like, we can't.
This has to be it. So, all right. So we assume, just to add to that. So right now, as it stands at this moment, I think there are 8 they have written down. Is that right? I think it's 8. And we're saying Edge and Finn would come in and be 9. Dominic and Ray would be 10.
Yep.
What else does that leave? Oh, The Fiend.
The Fiend. Well, he has Bobby Lashley, no?
Not official.
I feel like that's going to be official.
What did you say? Not, you think it won't be official at all?
I think it will. I think that will be official.
So yeah, so that would be like 11. Who else is hanging out right around that? Who are we forgetting?
All the champions are on. Well, obviously, you know, the other match that's definitely going to be official is, you know, Sami and KO against the Usos.
12.
Yeah, that's going to be official.
So really, you don't need much more from 12. You can do 6 tonight, right?
Yeah, and it'll be perfectly fine, especially with this, with the 12 that they have. Outside of a handful, the stories do have some heat. But let's see. Last year's WrestleMania, there were 16 matches spread across the 2 nights. The year before that, there was 14 matches spread across the 2 nights. So, who knows? There could be a couple other matches they have in the tuck, but I don't see who on the roster is left to get a Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Miz is hosting, so I guess they didn't have anything for the most must-see superstar in WWE besides hosting. So he has a nice couple days off. So he's not going to get a legend or anything.
Yo,
like
isn't
that.
The New Day in the poster?
The New Day is in the poster.
Hmm. That mean anything?
I mean, at this point, no, because they don't have anything else. But they are in the poster.
I don't know, man. I'm super excited for WrestleMania because I'm always super excited for WrestleMania. And it's in LA. There's a lot that makes it super appealing. I do feel like we're short one or two things, though, to make it feel like, oh my God, it's WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm with you. But it's funny, too. Like, I'm with you, but I don't know what those one or two things are, right? Because they have the celebrity match. You know, they have the big marquee match, and it really doesn't feel like it can get any bigger than Cody.
Was it on this show, or I don't remember who I was talking to, where the idea was proposed of Austin Theory calls out John Cena, and Cena says, oh, I do want Austin at WrestleMania, but not Austin Theory. Glass break, mm-hmm. Cena, Austin. Come on. Cena and Austin would have been so mage.
Yeah.
And it felt like that's where we were going.
Especially when he turned him down at first. He said no. Like, didn't even give it a thought. Cena told Austin Theory no. And Cena is right, too. Let's be real. When he told Austin Theory that he's in a lose-lose situation at WrestleMania, right? Because either he loses the match or he wins. And in either way, people are going to question whether he's prepared for what comes next. Either way, no matter what. So he set himself up for failure no matter what happens in that win-loss column. It's a lot of pressure for a young man to take on.
All right, let's go into the mailbag and get taken some different directions today.
Mail.
Tim says, hey, fellas, quick aside, you've read a few of my emails lately on the pod. I want to say thank you. Always super cool to hear my name pop up. You guys are the highest levs of mage. Thank you. I've got an open-ended question. Year after year, rising star after rising star, Cena does everything in his power to come out on top during their promo battles. I understand, especially during and after his own segment, got to keep that top spot. But does he overdo it? Does he hurt more than he helps? Especially the last 5 to 7 years when he's supposed to be giving back. I think he would say he's testing people, letting them sink or swim. But sometimes it feels like he's got his foot on their neck, holding them under. And let's be honest, it's a heavy foot. Carries the weight of being the top guy for a decade plus. I get bully vibes from him. Sure, Austin Theory not being ready is a part of their storyline. But why the part about whether you win or lose, you still lose because no one cares about you? You know, let me say this. I did think that yesterday.
He's bullying Austin Theory?
Not the bullying part. I did think, is it a good idea to say nobody cares about you? Is that useful? Or are you so confident that by the end, people will care about him? But like, I don't know. It also didn't seem altogether true.
That's no, it's definitely not true that nobody cares about.
Like Austin Theory is one of the young guys who like, there's a reason he's getting the match with John Cena. People do have an interest in him.
Mm-hmm.
And like that,
people don't love him, but he gets a reaction.
Yeah, I guess I would have rather had him say, people obviously like to watch you wrestle. People obviously think you're talented, blah, blah, blah. The problem is they don't like you. And let me tell you why they don't like you. I don't know that I would have leaned into they don't care about you.
I didn't expect him to go to the fake crowd noise either. That was when I thought Cena became Dip's favorite wrestler because he went right for, like, that was the jugular right there. The fake crowd noise. I was like, oh, John didn't come to like play around. And the other thing, the sign in the audience is like, no writer had that in the script. See, you know what I mean? Cena saw the sign and felt the need to bring it not just to Austin Theory's attention, but to my attention, attention.
What was the exact line, SGG? I'm sorry, I'm sick this week. I don't remember. Why did I miss that bar? That would have stood out.
Austin Theory is a John Cena wannabe. And in the middle of his promo, he says, like, somebody's carrying a sign that says Austin Theory is a John Cena wannabe.
That part I remember.
There it is. It's right there. The sign is right there.
But what about, what did he say about the crowd?
Oh, he was like, they don't have to pipe in fake crowd noise when I'm out here because nobody cares. And he said, I would rather be bald than have them pipe in fake crowd noise because nobody cares. Because, you know, Austin Theory took a shot at his bald spot. Austin Theory threw a rock. And then John Cena dropped a nuke, which I guess is bully vibes, if you want to think about it like that.
I mean, listen, that was sort of my very unpopular opinion about the Chris Rock special. At what point do you cease to be the guy defending yourself and become the bully?
Right.
It's a very blurry line.
I mean, it's Chris Rock though, right? Let's like the reason he got slapped was because he was the guy being the bully
from the beginning.
Yeah, let's be quite honest. So because of his frame, he managed to get some sympathy, but like after the slap, people posted interview clips and this and that, and like, you know, of Chris Rock talking shit about Jada for years before he got slapped. You know what I mean?
Well, that was sort of one of so I had a lot of thoughts about the Chris Rock thing, none of which seemed to be super well received. But one thing that I thought was interesting was like, yeah, when I said I thought he went a little too far and it wasn't that cool, everyone was like, oh my God, he got slapped. Will deserve. First of all, I realize a lot of dudes are really sensitive and scared about the idea of being slapped in public. Apparently that's like a deep seated man fear I didn't know about. Bro, it came out. He got slapped. You could do whatever. I'm like, I didn't know slapping was the number one cardinal sin in the history of life, but okay. But all you people saying Will Smith deserves whatever he gets. Yo, man. Every celebrity has terrible things said about them and they get defenders. Seems like no one's wanted to defend Will Smith The only thing he's ever done in 30 plus years of fame was slap a man that he knew for talking about his wife.
Right.
That's not that. I get it was at the Oscars, but relative to things other celebrities are hated for, slapping a man for talking about your wife is not that big an offense. I'm sorry. Anyways, I apologize for the tangent. Let's go back to the mailbag for a few.
Mail.
Rosenbergbeats at gmail.com, by the way. And this one comes from the Black Announce Table podcast. Our friend Eve sent us message. He said, recently on our show, we got a listener question that we found interesting. Which version of wrestlers could defeat the tribal chief Roman Reigns? 2007 Cena, 2009 Randy Orton, 98 Taker. Interested to hear what you guys think. Well, Dip is not here. I'm sure he'd have a take. But you know I'm going to end up leaning, looking at it from more of an old school lens. Because it's hard for me to even think about 2007 Cena. Yeah, the answer is yes. 2007 Cena would be in the conversation because he didn't lose to anyone.
Right.
And I guess 09 Orton would be in a similar category. Obviously, prime 98 Austin, 99 Austin, that Austin right there, you would say has a chance.
I would love to see 97 Brett just cause they got that bloodline and the Hart family. That was a 5-on-5.
By the way, I would give Brett of that era a chance.
I feel like he'd still lose, but I would give him a chance.
Obviously, 87 Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's crazy to think about that. Like, it's funny. You can't really do it because it's like a different thing altogether. But it actually would be fun. Like that would actually be a fun kind of match to picture. 87 Hogan and 23 Reigns.
That's the thing though about Roman's style is that it could, like, it's hard to picture Hogan coming up to wrestle the style of today, but you could picture Reigns because, like, in a lot of his matches, like, he slows down the pace. He works like he definitely can throw in an old school pace and have like an old school type of match with a Hogan in that era.
No, I agree. Roman then could work. Let's see. What about
Triple H? When Triple H goes on that Reign of Terror, when is that? Is that 2002?
I think I was going to say, is it 02 Triple H? He'd be right
Evolution,
there.
Evolution, Reign of Terror, like Golden Shovel, Triple H.
What about Streak Goldberg?
Mm-hmm. Was it 92 Vader? 91, 92 Vader? When he's in WCW, just like, just run it through the whole roster.
Not only could Goldberg beat Roman Reigns, they'd ring the bell, he'd hit a spear, and it would be over.
Yeah.
Why can't I remember the name of Goldberg's?
The Jackhammer.
Jackhammer. It would be a spear. Roman stumbles to his feet. Jackhammer. The 3-year streak is over. And isn't that funny? That they were supposed to have their match at the beginning of the pandemic before any of this.
Can you imagine if that would have been the match to set off the, cause like Brock loses to Drew that night. So do we see, or was it the night before? It might've been the night, the Goldberg match might've happened the night before, but they could have easily had Roman and Goldberg close the Sunday night. Brock loses Saturday. And then Sunday we see Heyman show up next to Roman after he defeats Goldberg. And they just go WrestleMania through WrestleMania through WrestleMania with Roman as Universal Champion.
It's really wild to think, though, that we were having this fantasy conversation and that Goldberg is in some ways related to this title reign.
Yeah.
All these
they
years
did later. Run it back a few years later with I think he beat Goldberg at a February pay-per-view. So I remember him saying, I'm going to Goldberg. And Goldberg is on that infamous hit list that I've seen circulating of victims who tried to take the title from Roman Reigns.
All right, one more.
Mail.
Thanks to Ethan the Black Announce Table Podcast, by the way. Ryan wrote and asked if there's any chance that we would do a low-key heat and greet on Sunday at the Garden. I do believe I'm going to be at the Garden. I don't know about a heat and greet. I guess I could see how many people are going out there. Feel free to tweet or email and let me know if you're going to be there. Maybe if there were enough people there.
Right, because they got a house show this Sunday, right?
Oh, yeah. Road to WrestleMania, baby.
This is the one that Gunther appeared to advertise on last week.
That's right. That's why Gunther came on. Go listen to the Gunther interview if you haven't heard it. I just got a lot of really nice comments on the Gunther interview.
No, it was a good interview. Fantastic interview.
Thank you. I don't know if I did anything special, but I thought it was interesting. I think we just knew so little about him that it was interesting to hear him.
Yeah.
Tony writes us, Tony here, I've been a long time follower of the podcast, going on 8 years now. First things first, I want to give you all a great tip for the best bagels in Southern California. Small shop called Locks of Bagels in Torrance, California. Line out the door every morning. Don't believe me? Try for yourself. Sends us the link. Second, I don't think it'll just be Owens and Sammy versus the Usos at Mania. I think everyone is forgetting about a huge piece of the bloodline, and that's Sokoa. What if instead of simple tag, we get the bloodline versus Sammy Owens and either Austin or The Rock? Now that's something.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That would make sense as to why they're holding off on the KO piece, potentially.
I didn't think about that. Because like we tried to figure out who's left that they would, you know, give one of those big spots to versus just where does one of those people fit in to what's already on the page.
Why are you getting my hopes up there, Tony Barnes?
Like you said, man, they got 4 SmackDowns and 3 Raws, so we'll see. We'll see. He could be the prophet, Tony Barnes, in a couple of weeks.
Because that got me excited. All right, let's hit some Black Power rankings. All right, SGG, who do you got?
I'm gonna give it to Titus, the young man who was disrespected by MJF when he had a drink thrown on him in the first 5 minutes of what ended up being a really good match. I don't want to take it. It was a classic match, but poor Titus. I don't know if he got to enjoy any of it because he had to go find some dry clothes.
He certainly may have enjoyed it Thursday.
Yeah, who knows. So I'm gonna give it to young Titus this week's entry from me for the Black Power rankings.
First of all, I do want to say though, I did rewatch it one time. I sort of felt like if you watch the mom's reaction, it sort of looked like she was working.
I honestly can't tell if she was or if she wasn't,
but you know what I'm talking about. She's like,
because it's like,
it's such a demonstrative face that she makes. I almost feel like you'd be in such shock. You might not even make such a demonstrative face.
Yeah. I really don't know if she was, or if she wasn't, if it was a plant, bravo. Right. Cause then this reminds me of like the Ted DiBiase kicking the basketball thing. Like, you know, excellent ways to do it. If it wasn't, you know, I feel like, you know, a line was crossed. And some conversations need to be had. Because then it ended up overshadowing the whole rest of the match, it feels like.
Well, but wait. I hear what you're saying, but it still wouldn't have overshadowed the match. You think anyone was still thinking about that 10 minutes later?
I think so. Like, after online, a lot of people were talking more about the drink incident than the match.
Well, but then the problem is that would then be true regardless of what the situation is, because they don't know.
Right.
And Max doesn't ever reveal anything. Like, Max literally will go, Max, he will sign an autograph at a show where you waited in line for an hour to meet him, and he will sign, "You're a bleeping loser." You know, like, he will, that is, like, he doesn't ever let you know. So even if it turns out it was the most brilliant plan of all time, it doesn't change what you're saying.
Yeah.
If people,
it's just risky, man. It's just because, like I said, there's only two ways to take it. Either it's true and he crossed the line, or it was a brilliant, elaborate work.
Well, I'll say this. If it was legit, it would be the furthest I've ever seen a heel go with regard to interacting with kids in the crowd. I'll say that, which makes me pretty confident that he didn't decide to go, "I'm going to do something that's never been done before." Just seems like he's too smart a guy for that. All right. I am going to go with the Street Profits and Bianca Belair, just because they made me happy this week. They were unfortunately at another pathetic Celtics loss. But I just love seeing how much they're moving around as the faces of this company.
Yeah.
Especially cool because, you know, Montez has the whole, they have the TV show together. And by the way, where are the Street Profits for WrestleMania?
That's a good question. Yo,
we went a whole year and they still didn't break up or have anything happen.
No.
I thought they were going to break up at Mania last year. And then I was like, all right, if it didn't happen at Mania, it's going to happen next week. Well, guess what? It's been 49 weeks.
And the closest we got to it was Montez earning a singles match with Dawkins, you know, in the audience. And even then, they didn't really break up. Like, Montez had his own gear and performed really well. It really felt like a test for where he could go as a single star, even though we already know. But I wonder if that's just the play, that they don't turn, even though everybody wants it, and they just drift.
No, and it's wrestling. You can't drift. What do you mean drift? There's such thing as a drift.
You can't, but
you drift away from friends in middle school. I mean, tag team partners on WWE TV don't drift. Right. Anyways, but still, the Street Profits and Bianca doing a great job sort of carrying the flag for WWE. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. Dipperstein will be on Friday. We'll find out what Natalie's big cream cheese take will be, which I'm sure will be huge, huge news for everyone listening. And don't forget, of course, that Friday of Mania, we will be at Button Mash in LA. SGG has procured his tickets to Los Angeles.
Oh, that's right. I will be there.
The question is, will there be a vacation between now and then?
It's likely. I'm not going to lie to you. It's likely. I want to say no, but this is a know thyself moment.
You might as well leave the door open.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I closed it last week and then I kicked it down. So I'm not going to do that again.
Yo, we will catch you guys Friday. Thanks to Brian Waters. Shout out to that guy, Greg. Take it easy, everyone.
It's professional wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening. At this time, I would like to introduce, in the corner to my left,
the majesty,
sweet, sweet Peter Rosenberg.
And then I went to makeup and, like, sat in front of the mirror a little bit and got myself together.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to introduce...
Shout out to that guy, Greg.
Bret Hart is the greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge.